Under the Hood, where we aren't afraid to pop open the hood and inspect the important parts of life. I'm your host, Sanaa Hood, and today I'm here with
Jasmine
Arnella.
And just wanted to say, it has been a while since I've recorded an episode for the podcast, but now that it's summer, I thought, you know, I have a lot of free time, so why not pick it back up? Yeah, and so today we kind of just wanted to talk about purpose, finding your purpose, and the pressures that come along with it. And I felt like the two guests today are really great for this episode topic because Arnella, she's going into her senior year of college, and then Jazz just graduated. Congrats! yeah, and we can just step right into it. For the first question, I wanted to ask, was there a moment when you felt clearly called by God? What did that look or feel like?
First of all, I guess like the purpose, like the thing that I felt called to was like sharing the gospel with my roommates. I think like it was the most convicted I ever got in my life. Before I came to like the U.S. For school, my aunt was like, oh, like, remember that God puts you in places, like, not just for you, but, like, for the people around you and, like, to make him known. Honestly, at the time, I did not consider, like, the Great Commissioning to be, like, a part of something that I have to, like, carry in my life. I just thought, like, you know, it's for the pastors, it's for, you know, the people who went to school for it, and, like, who am I to, like, you know, be telling people God's word and whatnot. Like, I could encourage like a fellow Christian, but like not preach the word to someone who didn't like know anything about it. So she said that, and I guess it kept coming back to my mind like every once in a while. And well, once I joined Voyage, well, Voyage never stopped talking about it. They kept talking about how like how we've like it's all our mission, and like how if we are loving, then it just doesn't make sense to not share the most loving message you can share to people about like how they have to be saved. And so I think it added up like with the continued like hearing the messages, thinking about what my aunt said, like reading the Bible on my own, I just felt like, wow, like, do I love anyone if I don't feel the need to share the gospel with them? And so I think it came to a point where I was like, I got a dream where it was like, I was at home, it was over the summer, but when I had the dream, I was here, like, in Chicago. But then I had a dream that I was in my living room back home, and I was sitting with my brother, and then one of my roommate, Jesse, was on the couch. I don't know what she was doing there. But then, like, it started, it got dark, and then, I don't know, it just felt like it was, like, the end of the world. And so we all started, like, feeling very scared. And then this like person came in. Like I started feeling like before the person came in, I started feeling like a lot of regret. I was looking at my roommate, and she didn't seem worried. She just was like, "Well, this is the end of the world," and she was just sitting there. And I remember just feeling so much regret and feeling, "Wow, like you're just sitting there, and your roommate is probably not gonna go." And it's like I just felt like, "Wow, like I really should have." And then this person came in, and then I was like, I don't know why, but I thought that person could do something about it. I was like I really need more time. I need more time. And they were like, oh, it's fine. Like, you have more time. I've had the dream, honestly, and I shared the gospel for like another 6 months. but I think like after that, it never left my mind. I was always like, wow, like we are living a life, but like it could end any time. And I just felt like God had like put so many people in my life who were like constantly telling me and reminding me to do that thing, not just with my roommates, but I think my roommates were my priority because I was like living with them, like daily life, we were sharing our burdens, some of the things, and I was just not being loving. So I was like, oh, so I feel like that's the time where I felt the most convicted about something.
Yeah, it's crazy that you had like an actual dream about it, and I feel like even though it took 6 months for you to actually share the gospel with your roommate, it's like God knew what he was doing by placing that conviction in your heart through that dream. And like obviously like we do have these fears and stuff that kind of get in the way of us sharing the gospel, so it's normal that like it took you a while to like overcome that and get to a point where you felt comfortable enough to like share. But that's so crazy.
Yeah. But at the end of the dream, it was fun. The reason why I'm like, I don't know if it was like an actual the person, the old person, was like, oh, what do you guys want to order? And my brother was like, a cheeseburger. It ended up being a funny joke at the end, but, like, it was actually very serious.
I remember now when I first heard the question, I thought, like, of when I made a salvation decision. And I think, like, I feel like because I grew up in church, like, a lot of it was kept coming to the realization that my walk wasn't my own. And so, like, things would happen where, like, yeah, actually, I feel like it's not necessarily, like, get into the whole testimony because that would take the whole, like, time. But I think more so just realizing and different interactions that I have with, like, my family or different interactions that I have with people at church. And when I was going through the period of just, like, rebelliously living my life despite knowing God, like, knowing truth, I think, like, the time coming out of that was, like, how God kept he kept allowing me to get in trouble, or, like, he kept allowing people to be like, yeah, Jazz, you're heading down a really destructive path, or things like that. And so I think it was, like, those things adding up and, like, also getting to the end of myself that I feel like I was able to get to a point where I had an understanding that this was God giving me, like, kind of, like, those warning signs and, like, the blaring, like, this is your opportunity to, like, actually come into a relationship with me by accepting, like, the cross. And so I feel like, yeah, that was probably a little minute ago, but I think, like, that was, like, the thing that I thought of, because that, as of right now, feels like the clearest way that I've seen, like, God reach out to me. And it was, like, through other people that, like, his sign, or, like, his, like, I don't know, hello, kind of was made clear to me. But yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. It reminded me of this, like, thing I heard one time where it was, like, sometimes, like, the trials or, like, the bad things that come up in our lives that kind of feel like, yeah, it's, like, troubling us, it's, like, giving us pain. Right. Like, all of those moments are things that are meant to bring us closer to God.
Right.
And how he can use those moments to remind us that we do need to turn back to him. So that's what, like, your calling kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like for me, I think it was Filter of Hope, if I'm being honest, because I remember when, like, the people from last year had came back and they were kind of giving, like, a recap of, like, how they felt coming in and, like, what they feel coming out and stuff, and me thinking, like, oh, I wish I went on this, but I just don't feel qualified enough. And then I think just the moments leading up to this year's Filter of Hope, yeah, I went through a lot of, like, am I qualified, like, what would I give type of thing. And I remember, well, this is kind of insignificant, but, like, I was, like, before the mission trip, I was supposed to go back home for a few days because I didn't have finals, like, in person. And then, so I literally was, like, giving my mom the day. It's like she was going to book my trip. And I was like, I feel like as long as I come back the night before our flight, like, it'll be fine. And then I think the night that after I, like, called her about that, that night I had a dream that, like, I went back home and did all of that, and then I ended up, like, not being able to fly back to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I wasn't able to go to Filter of Hope because, like, something with my flight happened, I wasn't gonna make it, stuff like that. And then I was like, oh, is that just a dream? But I had like a prophetic dream or whatever, like, a while before that.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I should just trust this dream. And it actually ended up being for the better. I literally, after that dream, I literally called my mom and I said, don't book my flight. Like, I'm not going. And it was good that I did that, because we actually had to go to their house for, like, training all day that Friday.
Yeah.
And, like, we had to sleep over there because it ended up being a really early flight. I knew none of the flight details.
Wow.
So I didn't realize how early it was. Yeah. And, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have made it back, or, like, something would have gone wrong. So I think the fact that, like, I don't know, I felt like God was kind of warning me, oh, don't go home because, you know, you're going to miss out on this opportunity. Mm-hmm. It made me feel even more that, like, he wanted me to go.
Yeah.
And I still didn't know what use I would have being there.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I went there, it was, like, it was nothing that I thought it would be. Like, I was like, oh, if I'm going to this mission trip, that must mean I have something to provide for them. Mm-hmm. Some kind of knowledge, wisdom, whatever. But that's not necessarily how I was used on that trip. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot of, like, oh, I know all these biblical facts or, like, this or that, like, helped them, like, get saved. It was more, like, speaking on, like, my experiences or, like, my testimony. Mm-hmm. Or even, like, not even as much of, like, me helping them, but how they helped me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason why God wanted me to go there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't just for, like, what I could give to them, but, like, how they helped me, like, grow more in my faith and mm-hmm. realize how I'm still imperfect and what flaws I still have that I didn't want to see. Mm-hmm. And I think since then, like, God has been helping me grow. And I think the quickness of that growth wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for that mission trip.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It's always nice to see, like, how God works, like, in hindsight. And, like, being able to, like, put the pieces, like, oh, this is why that happened.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is, like, faith and trust.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, there's so much that we don't see that he's, like, planning. It's
right.
Like, it's like, yeah. And then the second question was, have you ever felt pressure to create purpose rather than receive it?
I think a time where I felt like I wanted to create purpose for myself was, like, in my gap year before coming to college. We were in this program that was helping us apply, and I think, like, they highly discouraged, like, going, like, into medicine and stuff like that, just sort of, like, because the program is just meant to have people come study and then go back home after maybe their bachelor's, maybe their master's degree, but, you know, something quick, like nothing that lasts forever, like medicine. So people, like, discouraged it a lot. And, like, I think there's just, like, a lot of people were like, oh, you're not going to make it. Like, people don't really, even Americans don't get into medical schools. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, how are you going to get in? Like, if you get in, how are you going to pay for it and stuff like that? And so I felt convinced that I was not gonna do it. And I think at the time I had thought, like, my whole life, I guess I had thought, like, that my purpose was to do the best, like, with what I was given. And that meant, like, oh, academics, if I was doing well, then that's what I was given. And, like, if I feel maybe strongly about healthcare, then, oh, like, my purpose is just do the best I can do in that. And so, because I felt like that was my whole purpose and it was just being taken away from me, I felt like, oh, I had to find a new thing for me to do. And, like, everyone around me just felt like they knew exactly what they were going to do in college. And, like, so it felt, like, very scary. And I was like, oh, I need to, like, find something. And so I started searching out, like, different things that people do. And I just, like, every single thing felt, like, very, some things I didn't want to get into or want to spend my life doing. And yeah, it was kind of like a very sad experience for me because I was like, oh wow, I've like spent my whole life feeling like I was gonna do this and now it's like gone. But I guess I was, that was because I was putting my whole life as like what my career was gonna be like and stuff like that.
I feel like that similar journey was like happened, I mean, I guess most of college, but definitely senior year when everyone's like, okay, what are you doing post-grad? What are your plans post-grad? And so, like, I think I came into college with an unclear sort of picture for my life, whether that would be, like, law school or, like, nonprofit or something like that. It was, like, very much I don't know. And I also was, I felt like I had, like, a really firm, like, I'm not gonna have it all figured out before, like, how most people do or how it seems like most people do. And so, like, I think when this year started, it was, like, a lot of, like, being faced with that again. Like, I don't have it figured out, even though I really want to. And so, like, when I was thinking about, like, or sorry, trying to, like, keep in line with answering your question, I think in trying to have it all figured out in the beginning of this year, I feel like a lot of what I was doing was, like, trying to map out, like, okay, global studies, what do I like to do? And, like, what, like, is the, like, what do people usually do when they kind of take that route? And nothing ever was, like, not necessarily satisfying, but I never felt, like, at peace about the things that I was, like, kind of coming to and, my, and like, conclusions and stuff. Like, when I was rationalizing things, a lot of it was just, like, when I did feel peace, it was, like, I still didn't know, but I had been praying about it. And, like, I still didn't know which direction to take, but I'm giving it to God. And, like, I really did not get clarity until spring quarter. And so I feel like that is this, like, in different, like, areas that has been the process of like, okay, I'm trying to figure this all out, but like most of the times, like, you don't know, and as you continue to trust, that is when the peace comes in. And then God's like, yeah, okay, I'll like wrap it up now since you're actually trusting. And so yeah, I feel like with in general, I think we can all say the same thing of, like, in college we come with this very much, like, worldly understanding of work and purpose and, like, value that I feel like God flips on his head immediately when you are pursuing him for real, and you realize, like, those things don't matter. And he uses those things for his purpose, and he uses, like, where he places us for the greater mission of, like, bringing people to him. But I think it's really, it was really, like, I feel like I'm still learning, the whole thing of, like, okay, then what's the point of working if it's not really, like, if it doesn't, like, matter, or, like, things like that.
Yeah. I felt both of your answers. Yeah. I think, yeah, kind of coming into college, you feel, like, a need to figure everything out. Like, you have to figure everything out. And it's, like, even though college is, like, I don't know, it's supposed to be this time when, like, you get to explore and, like, find who you are, sometimes you feel like you still are trying to conform or, like, fit into this box. Like, I think coming into it, I felt this pressure to be good at STEM, for instance. Mm-hmm. And, like, even just taking the core and stuff like that, and, like, having to take, like, bio and chem and physics classes, like, I don't know, it made me, like, feel like, oh, I'm not, like, competent enough. Like, I can't, like, succeed in these fields. Mm-hmm. But I kept wanting to, because, like, everyone around me was, like, econ or, like, STEM, and I'm like, oh, I need to be successful in these ways. And I tried to think, like, maybe I'm here because, like, my purpose is to be in those fields. Or even when I, like, yeah, when I decided to be, like, an econ major, I was like, I'm gonna be econ. Like, I'm gonna, like, go into finance. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna go into finance. And, like, it was terrible. like, I only took a few classes, but I remember, like, working so hard to try to do well just to be mediocre. Mm. Like, me studying hard would get me a barely passing grade, whereas there was people who, like, I don't know, it came to them a little easier, and who, like, didn't have to study as hard, or, like, they would get A's with the amount of work that I put into it, but I didn't get an A. Mm. And I think, yeah, I thought that that was my purpose, to, like, go into that field. And so when I completely, like, shifted to something else, there was a lot of, like, fears of, like, oh, was this the right path to take? It took me a while to, like, drop the major, and I kept asking a bunch of, like, people and, like, post-grads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, is it the end of the world if I drop this econ major, especially for, like, where I want my life to go? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I don't regret dropping it now, but, yeah, it's definitely different than, like, how I envisioned when I first got here.
Yeah.
Do you ever find it hard to trust God's plan for your life? Why or why not?
It's hard to trust what God says, because it feels like a lot, like, I think about UChicago a lot, like, getting here, it was very much that whole bringing, like, rivers and streams out of the wilderness, like, work when he, like, coming to UChicago. And so I think, in general, I do really believe that's how God, like, works out our faith and, like, bringing us to circumstances that we kind of hit, oh, like, how is he going to split the Red Sea kind of moment, and, like, different ways that it applies to us in relationships and family and all that stuff. And so I feel like, because most of the time you have to, like, die to yourself and die to, like, your understanding or your controllingness or whatever, I think, like, that makes it hard to trust God, because I feel as, like, I know I'm, well, I guess we're all controlling in our own ways, and so I won't just say it's just me, but, like, the way I do like to have things, like, planned out, and it all makes sense, and, like, okay, this is why this is happening, so this can happen before I, like, actually have to step into the situation or something like that, or before I have to feel anything. And so, like, trusting God makes you put all that aside and just, like, trust who he is, and, like, you let go of the things that, the things that we used to be able to trust in, the kind of sort of, like, before God. And then, like, once you surrender your life, he's, like, ripping all those things away for good, like, reason, because, like, he has the best plan, and, like, yeah. And so I think, yeah, to answer your question, I do think it's hard to trust God, because a lot of it is, like, is faith. And then it's like, okay, he has a track record that then we can, like, that adds to our faith. And, like, every time something happens, we can, like, what's it called? It's that verse in James that's like, anytime you, like, face trouble, you can count it all joy. Because it's a chance for your faith to grow, for your endurance to grow, and, like, all that stuff.
I also think it's hard for me, in some situation more than others. I think I also like to, like, it's not that I like to to go by a plan. It's just like I like to know there's a plan that I can follow, that there's something next. And I feel like just because I grew up in that structure, it just is hard for me to just go in blind and like take a risk. I'm not really a risk taker, honestly. I just like to know like what is next, and so I think it's hard for me to like when I'm not sure what's next. But I feel like what's harder for me is when it's harder for me to trust God is like when I feel like I'm like failing at something. If I'm like if I did something wrong or like for instance, if it's like for a class I'm not working as hard or like I'm wasting time, or basically if I'm not like doing the best I can do in anything, then I feel the fear that everything's gonna collapse. As if I'm thinking that like, oh, my efforts is like what's like holding everything together. Because so I think like in those cases I think I have the hardest time trusting God, because I think like sometimes I forget how merciful God can be, that like even if in our failures, like His power is made perfect. And I think like some failures, it's like failure, like I think sometimes I used to think of that verse in terms of like I've done all that I can do, and obviously all I can do is still not good. But like I think I'm starting to discover it as in, even if I fail to do all I can do, even if I'm just like not doing, yeah, like even if I'm not like a diligent person, even if I'm like not that it's like out of my control, even if I like initiate something and it's like bad and maybe I know it, I think like trusting God that He can get me out of the mess I've put myself in, I think sometimes I have a hard time. But I think I'm learning to just trust that God is like really good. Not that I should take advantage of that, but like just to know that like even if I fail as a person, not that the things around me are failing, like even if I fail as a person, He'll still show up for me.
Something my thesis advisor was telling me, because I was telling her about like post-grad anxieties and stuff, even though I have something like planned for the next year, and something like she was telling her daughters who are similar to our age, is just like similar to what you're saying, like, but I guess it's different per family, but all like every student or like whatever 0 to 22, like we are in a structured system of like, okay, once I get past this grade, I'm gonna go to this, unless you don't like go to college, obviously, but you guys get what I'm trying to say. And she was saying like that is really hard to change after 22 years of being in like a structural system that kind of plans your next step for you, and it's like, yeah, different based on your interests and stuff, and now like you're getting to a point where we have to, like, it's not as clear. And I feel like, I think what the experience has been is, like, God has been allowing that, like, uncertainty to, like, He's been starting to chip away at that before we get to the end. But, like, I do think that is, like, also playing into why it's hard to trust God, because we live in a world that does not trust God. And, like, they make it as they go and, like, make their own plans. And, yeah, when she said that, it kind of just hit different. I was like, it is, we are breaking away like of something that's been ingrained in us for like over 20 years. So anyways, yeah.
That was a really good point. Yeah, I think I have like a tendency to try to like fix everything or like to handle everything. It's like what I'm used to doing. But I think especially since like I became Christian, or maybe I just notice it more, like just how bad I am at that. Like bad I am at like fixing my own problems, or like getting this like life that I want, or like getting the job that I want, like this or that. And the idea of like trusting God with my life and trusting God with like my future plans is really hard for me to like do, because I'm like, I still have that like mentality that like I'm the only one who can get me to this point, I'm the only one who can fix this. And sometimes I think I like downsize God's abilities or God's provision over my life. Like, yeah, I know He is the God who created the world, and like He made me, and He made like literally all of this. Like there's nothing He can't do.
Right.
And yet whenever an obstacle does come up in my life, I'm like, I need to do this. I need to fix this. Yeah. Like I don't think God's gonna come through for this. But then He does, and I'm like, oh God, You're so good, like You're literally so amazing.
Yeah.
But then it's this whole cycle, because then a new thing comes up, and it's like, you would think I'd learned my lesson, that like He is the only one who can get me out of this. But, like, yeah, like, on the point you were making about, like, oh, like, this is preparing us for that time when we are outside of that system that we're so used to. Mm-hmm. It's, like, if you realize now that you can't do everything that you're trying to do or put all that on your shoulders, mm-hmm. like, if you realize that now and, like, get used to God being in control of your life, then it makes that post-grad season a lot easier or a lot easier to swallow. Mm-hmm. Because it, like you said, it is this bigger world and, like, you know, they aren't, like, you know, driven by, like, God, and so there are going to be these new obstacles that come up in this, like, unknown system. Mm-hmm. And so, like, knowing that you have this lack of control over your life now can, like, prepare you for that time when you're really not going to have that control over your life, like, mm-hmm. in a bigger, yeah. How do you stay faithful to God's direction when the path ahead feels unclear or unstable? We kind of talked about this, but, yeah.
I think for me, it's usually through remembering what God has brought me through. There's just too much that I... That some situation, I remember them, and I'm like, that was worse than this. And God still showed me favor, and he still came through. And so I think for me, it's, like, taking time. Like, when I think I'll be, like, praying and being like, God, like, I feel like this time, it's, like, different, and it's, like, why not and not? And I think, like, God brings, like, back... to times where I felt the same way, or like sometimes it's like less situations, but it's still like knowing the fact that God came through at that time that gives me peace to some extent, to just be like, oh yeah, like I can really just give it to God because like he is actually good and he promised that he's gonna be there for me, in even if it's like not what I want, but like it's still pretty good for me. Yeah,
I think on that same vein, I feel like God uses a lot of people in my life to remind me of, like, his faithfulness. And so, yeah, I think surrounding myself with people who are also trying to live to the standard of trusting God and, like, yeah, I think it is pretty abnormal, especially for people our age. Like, we know this and, like, I've heard it multiple times. And so, like, to be around people who are in the same boat, who are trying to trust God in a way that we don't have a lot of, like, maybe examples of or something like that, it's really encouraging. And, like, yeah, I think he it's, like, a blessing. It's definitely, like, his, like, grace to put us around people who also are, like, dedicated to knowing his word and therefore knowing, like, the ways in which we should be encouraged or, like, yeah, how we should be going about this life.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, for instance, I'm not really good with change. Mm. And, like, you know, you guys have said before, but, like, the idea of not knowing, like, I like to know the plan. Like, I like to know what direction I'm going into, mm-hmm. the details and everything. And so kind of just trusting in God's direction is really hard in those times of uncertainty. But kind of like you were saying, like, being inspired by, like, those around us and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think especially right now with, like, the changes in church and, like, how, you know, people are going on foreign missions or, like, there's all these updates and stuff and we don't really know how, like, things are going to pan out because, like, the whole network is changing. But, like, the fact that, like, you know, I'm able to see the mentors, especially, like, people who are a little further in their faith and, like, how they're kind of taking on all these changes and trusting in how God can, like, grow the church through that and just, you know, even them, like, reflecting on, like, how God's path for the church has, like, been so fruitful in the past and how it could start as this, like, small thing that grew into something bigger and beautiful. Like, I don't know, it inspired me to be more trusting in that path even when it's not known to me. Yeah, like, there's this verse, I forget where it's from, but it's talking about, like, trusting in God and even though, like, you don't have an understanding of everything, like, you don't need to know everything to mm-hmm. trust in him and, like, just follow what he wants for your life. Mm-hmm. And that's something I try to, like, remind myself of, like, God doesn't need to tell me everything. Yeah. Because I think I do sometimes get a little furious. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, God, why are you doing this? Why'd you put this person in my life? Why'd you set me on this path? Why'd you give me this job or not give me this job? Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't need to know everything. I don't need to understand everything. And there are times when I was unsure about why God did the things he did or put me on that path, but a lot of beautiful things came out of that,
right.
And I'm grateful for those, like, actions, and so it's like, you know, I should just be grateful for whatever he's about to do within the future, too.
Yeah.
How do you plan to keep God at the center of your professional life post-grad? You can both answer these questions, you know. Ornella, you're close, and Jazz, you're there.
So I guess this is a question pointed at me. And you're like, you know. Okay, it's okay. Okay, sorry. I think, how do I plan to keep God at the center? So, okay, I guess, like, it helps to give what I'm going to be doing post-grad. I'm going to be working / volunteering / part-time. Like, I don't know what to tell people, but I am getting paid, but it's not a living wage, and so it's, like, a paid volunteership. But it's this national service organization called City Year, and they have a bunch of different hubs in different cities. And so I found out about it here in Chicago, but they have one in Miami, which I'm originally from. That area. And so I'm going to be basically helping a teacher in an inner city school, like schools that are already underserved, in terms of like funding and like, yeah, extra help. And I don't know what subject yet. It could be reading, math, science, or anything like that. So that's that. And the whole like working with kids thing was not something I saw myself doing like at all. I think this is like to the point I think I was trying to make earlier with having a plan for college, and then it kind of like, it never really worked out when I tried to plan something or like when I thought about something. And this is the one thing I actually have peace and clarity about. And so at the beginning of senior year, kind of, I started doing the neighborhood schools program. Sorry. I sense myself going on a rabbit trail. I'm trying to bring myself back. You asked how I'm going to keep God at the center. And so, but I guess that's why I'm saying that, because the process is kind of how I'm going to keep him at the center. And so because a lot of it was just like praying, God, like, what is this that you want me to do, based on things that like I know that like he has grown in me over the past few years. And so like when I started doing the volunteer thing with neighborhood schools program, New Chicago program, I don't know how specific I should be, but that was like one experience where it was very much outside of my comfort zone. And like I was working with kids who, first of all, I didn't feel like I could relate to because they're younger, but then also because they're coming from a different background, and there's a lot of like things warped and mixed up in that. But I also, like, every day that I had tutoring, and when first it was like two times a week, and then it became every day, spring quarter, I prayed in the morning of like, God, I don't know how I'm gonna relate to these kids, I don't know who's not gonna respond or something like that, but like, please be with me and like soften their hearts. And so there obviously were some days where if I had like a rough night, I didn't pray, but that was something that I tried to be intentional about, because I knew I was out of my element. And so it kind of like forced me to trust God more versus like doing something that I felt more comfortable in. I think that is a way that God works, where he like, similarly going to the mission trip, like you felt kind of like it was outside of your element and you weren't qualified, but then he qualified you through going through it. And so there's a saying that like God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, or something like that. I think, to answer your question, when I was doing the neighborhood schools program, because it was something that I knew, like, okay, like, I have peace going and doing this and, like, being of service in this way, but I know, like, I did not go to school for education. Like, I had none of my major or, like, thematic track or whatever focus was had to do with kids. And so it was like, I don't have, like, the tools necessary to work with kids. And so in that way, it felt like this was an area in which, like, I have to trust God, even if I didn't want to, and, like, the, I guess the way, of course, I want to, but it's, like, it feels like I'm in that position where it works out that this is something that can help grow my relationship with him, because, like, he's the only one that can get me through, and, like, I can only be of, like, good service if I'm, completely dependent on him. And so similarly with the City Year thing, it's going to be a full year of being like a teacher assistant in an inner city school, and like a space that I didn't necessarily grow up in. And I think like that I do have to be intentional with like growing the relationships with these kids and like we talked about this, like, being a light in those spaces, but, like, feeling all these different anxieties to, like, do stuff that I don't feel qualified to do. So, yeah. And I guess, sorry, I'm thinking of your first question about, like, when have you felt like God called you out? And I do feel like with the kids, this is something that he's, like, called out more this year. The way he did it just felt kind of weird, and, like, the way it, like, just placed, it was, like, placed on my heart, and then, like, wanting to do more things with kids, and, like, realizing the like, their preciousness and stuff, and, like, just softening my heart towards them, because if you know me, I like dogs more than I like kids, and so I feel like this is, like, a big switch for, yeah, and so I'll stop there. Yeah.
I do not know what my post-grad plans are, but I think, like, for sure, I think I've come to the conclusion that I have, like, I've been gifted a life of knowing God, and I just have to share that one or the other, like, by serve. Like, you could be, like, assisting in, like, a church. I guess, like, my priority would be being in church for sure. I think I used to, like, really not... I used to feel like, you know, you can do the Christian life on your own. Like, basically my whole first year, I spent, like, watching sermons online. I was like, I'm doing good. I was not doing good. My spiritual life was stuck at the same place. And so to me, I feel like finding a church in which I can... like, serving one way or the other is, like, one way I can, like, stay rooted in God. Because I think, like, I was talking to Kara about it, and I was like, oh, I feel like I just don't... It was, like, after the mission trip, I was like, oh, I don't know, you know, the next steps. And I feel like, I was thinking more, like, post-grads and stuff like that. I was like, I feel like I just don't know exactly. Like, I feel all these things about, like, you know, I feel like we should, you know, share the gospel and all that. And that. But I feel like... like, looking at my post-grads, I feel like I don't really know what that could look like, because I think there's a lot of ways in which you can serve, like, do ministry, and I was like, I don't know what that would mean for me specifically. And she just, like, told me, like, oh, if you serve God, like, if you just make yourself available, like, to serve, God will lead you into, like, whatever you're supposed to serve in, which I feel like is what you kind of just said with, like, your NSPS program, going into, like, serving kids and stuff. I think like, to me, it's like finding a church, being in the church. It could be here, it could be in Rwanda. I don't know really where my next steps are, but, like, wherever it is, like, just being rooted in church and being available to serve, so that I can know, like, what my next steps are, I guess.
I also don't know, like, what my post-grad plans are. But I think, like, through college, I think I have, like, started to, like, grow this love of, like, ministry. So I think, like, I would want to, like you, like, do stuff, like, in ministry post-grad, and kind of just, like, be able to serve others and not really, like, have my life just consumed by my needs or my wants. Mm-hmm. But even just thinking about, like, like, how I could keep God at the center of, like, even, like, my work life, or, like, whatever that will be, but kind of just, like, speaking about God 24/7 and, you know, sharing the gospel with, like, my coworkers is probably something that would be hard or, like, difficult, depending on what I go into, but, like, kind of just being that light, kind of like what you talked about, like, just, like, being more like Jesus, and that doesn't always have to be shown, like, through speaking, but also just through my actions and, like, how I uphold myself, like, in my conversations with others and stuff. And kind of just even thinking about, like, the, like, our sermon from church today on 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 13, and, like, how, you know, without love, you have nothing. Mm-hmm. And how, like, sometimes, like, it's enough to just show that love to others, the same love that God showed us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, your intentions or, like, your values can show a lot through that, and, like, how you love on others despite whatever is going on with them. And I think that's a way that, like, I can keep God at the center, like, just being able to love people despite any, like, feelings or anything like that. I feel like we've already kind of talked about this, but y'all can give, like, additional comments if you have any, but What does trusting God with your future look like right now in this season of your life?
Well, I leave Chicago in a week, and I feel like that just feels kind of weird to say out loud, first of all. But also, I think it is going to be the first time that, like I'm moving out of Chicago. I'm not, like, just visiting home to come back. And so I think apart from what I have, like, set up for this summer and for the school year coming, I think in general I am nervous about, like, so one of the things that I'm not trusting God with right now is relationships, both the ones that I am leaving and the ones that I need to be open to at home. Like, this year I have been, like, attending my home church virtually, and so a lot of, like, my relationships have been virtual for a very long time, which is, like, convenient in a lot of ways, because, like, you check in, like, you know, once a week or something like that, or you have a call, but you're not in their faces. And I think, like, so, and then something else that I'm doing this summer is work, like, doing, like, a summer camp with my church, and so, like, it's going from virtually nothing for the past 4 years to all in. And I think, like, I'm nervous for what that is going to look like, and, like, if they're going to receive me well. This is the little kids, and, like, you know, things like that. And then with the people who are around my age and stuff, it's just more like, what does it look like? It's not going to be like college where you can, like, meet up and, like, do work together or, like, go get coffee. And so what does it look like to be intentional with those relationships at church when we all have, like, full-time jobs? Like, that just makes me cringe, but yeah. Yeah, and then also my family, like, at home, I'm a totally different person than I was when I left college, and just, like, obviously more independent and more, like, sure in my faith. And it's like, I think I'm interested to see what that will look like in that space. And so yeah, I think it goes back to feeling like, okay, God is, like, leading me in, like, these different directions and these different steps, but then having to trust in every single moment that, like, he's going to be with me and, like, to take those steps, like, with, yeah, with the relationships in my home, with the relationships at church, with the relationships with my extended family, and yeah, so on and so forth, relationships in general. And then the other thing is, like, feeling like college was a space where I really grew up and, like, made true friends. Like, before college, I didn't have real Christian friends. It was just like, I was a Christian girl, but, like, no Christian friends. And so it was very much like a closeted thing. And so being able to come to college and trusting that, being who, like, being true to, like, being true to God, and, like, that, I'm, like, seeing the fruit of that in my relationships, it's hard to feel like, oh, now I have to, like, those relationships are going to change, I guess. Like, I guess it just feels harder to trust what they look like post-grad, basically, is what it boils down to. And I think I have, like, this, in a similar way we were talking about trying to figure things out, and I have, like, a kind of pessimistic view of, like, dang, like, all these relationships that I, like, built and that God gave me to build and that pruned me and, like, exfoliated some things are now just ending in a way, or, like, they won't ever, like, be the same because we're not going to be in college anymore. And so I think, like, that's just a little bit jarring of a switch that is just hard to, like, know how to, I guess, yeah, reconcile with or sit with. And I'm trying to trust that, like, okay, if, like, college's ending and, like, these, like, whatever, then God has, he has his best intentions and, like, plan in mind up for us. And so it's like, and he knows what we need exactly when we need it and how we need it. And so if all that is true, then I must respond, like, in faith and truth. But it's just hard to, like, trust that right now because, like, yeah.
No, that's so real. I constantly think about, like, what my friendships will look like post-grad. Yeah. Even just thinking about, like some of the mentors and, like, how them and their friends, like, you know, maybe get together, like, once a year to do some kind of trip or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, wow, like, you know, I'm not gonna see my college friends as often as I do now. And then, like how you said, like, really building on that intentionality, because I think I also, like, you know, don't have, like, a tendency to reach out. Like, sometimes, you know, you get busy.
Yeah.
And I forget to, like, continuously reach out to people or, right, like, ask to meet up or, like, plan trips and stuff like that. So yeah. I guess, yeah, it helps you grow in that way.
I guess, like, at this time in my life, we're about to be 4th years in, I'm not as excited as some people are. Because, again, it's with the planning, like, what's next and stuff like that. Like, there's so many things that could happen with that. And well, now that I did not apply to med school this cycle, then I have to apply next year, which means I have a gap year, which is, like, am I going to get into medical school? Like, what's the gap year going to look like? Am I going to go back home? Or am I going to stay here? Like, I feel like there's just a lot of unknowns. Like, if I go home, am I going to come, be able to come in the country? Like, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of unknowns. So it feels like right now, I guess, trusting God to me looks like building my relationship with him right now. Because I heard this thing from the pastor, and I was like, that's so good. He said, like, the time when you should be preparing, like, when you should be preparing to be in trouble, like, to go through hard times is, like, before you actually get into, like, the hard times. Because it's, like, if you have, like, a really strong relationship with God going into it, I think there's just, like, things and habits that you can't go back out of. Like, if it's, like, prioritizing God and prioritizing your friends. Because I think there's, like, a temptation of, like, applying to, like, a lot of jobs next year, applying to a lot of master's program next year, and all that, just to, you know, do something in that gap year, or after, I guess, like, graduating in general. And I think, like, that temptation would obviously be, like, you're not spending as much time in the Word. Because, like, honestly, like, the more time you spend in one thing just means that time has to come out of something, and it's like, what is it going to come out of? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, if you, like, if I invest right now in friendships and I invest in my relationship with God, then it's not something that disappears, like, once, like, those pressures come in. It's not to say that I'm not going to apply or, like, mm-hmm. whatever. It just means that I will do, honestly, it'll be, like, in a healthier way. So I think, like, right now, trusting God means, like, investing in those friendships and my relationship with him, so that when it all comes together, the pressures and the old, that I will not be lost in it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of fears going into this, this last year of college. Yeah. I think for me, trusting in God kind of looks like, I don't know, like, for some reason this summer, or, like, well, towards the end of, like, the school year, like, spring quarter, I've been, like, having to go to the doctor a lot for just, like, various health issues and stuff, and I think every time I, like, crash out a little bit, just about, like, I start thinking, like, the worst possible, like, outcome or whatever, and yeah, every time I end up just, like, crying and praying and just being like, oh my gosh, this is gonna happen. And I don't know, it's like I keep wondering, like, why is all this happening? Why are all these stressors coming up? Like, I don't need to deal with this. It's summer. I'm supposed to be, like, having this, like, sense of peace. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really felt that peace because of all these, like, health issues. But I think that what I've started to realize is that each time I get, like, a new result about whatever, and the next thing, like, comes on, or the next, like, health obstacle, I find myself getting less worked up about it. And I think that's, like, a way that I've been, like, slowly, or, like, without noticing, like, trusting in God more, because, like, those things end up being okay, or end up not going as bad as, like, I thought they were gonna go. And so I kind of bring that same mindset, like, hey, like, you know, I was praying over this thing, and, like, God really like, turn the situation around, so this next thing he can do as well. And so I've seen that, like, crash out, or that, like, anxiety that comes from these situations slowly decrease as, like, more things happen. And I guess it's, like, a way that I've been trying to look at the bright side during this time. So I feel like, hopefully, like, I can keep that mindset even going into other things as well, like, even, like, I don't know, academics, or, like, the senior year, like, like, yeah, outside of, like, health issues, but just, like, how I can trust, how he can redeem a situation in other ways as well, and how, like, these obstacles have, like, helped me grow in my faith in that way, and how I can apply this to, like, other situations that I might face in the future as well. All right, and the last question that I kind of wanted to end us off with is, when you're overwhelmed by decisions or expectations, what grounds you spiritually?
This is something that I have been talking about a lot with my mom, and yeah, just in general, just keeps coming up because I feel like she made this comment. It's relevant, I promise. About how you Chicago people are just too intellectual, and we like to intellectualize things. Because one of the things you Chicago like actually advertises, and it was repeated a lot during convocation, is like, we don't tell you guys what to think, we tell you how to think. And that is just literally, like, garbage words for we make you overthinkers. Like, we make you guys work in overdrive to think about things. And I think, sorry, I will amend that with, I think it is a good thing and a bad thing. And when you are trusting in God, who you're giving control to your life, being an overthinker or trying to, like, figure out how to think about something is not, like, trusting him at all. And, like, I've only recently come to terms with that because I can understand how, like, it helps to think about a situation or how a situation is, like, growing you or how God is using it to, like, you know, oh, reveal something about your past, and this is why I'm using this situation to do this. And so, like, having that introspection is good, but I think a lot of it can take the place of God sometimes, and, like, we do just need to, like, surrender, and, like, in the surrender that is, like, not thinking about it anymore. Sorry, this is kind of maybe a stretch, but I think similarly or whatever, the way I'm trying to connect it is that, like, sometimes I get in my head that there's, like, a right way to do something, and I can't move until that decision is clear. And a lot of the times God is like, you are trusting, or like, you're reading your word, you are talking to, like, counsel about it, now move. And he's not saying, oh, turn right here and, like, go left there and then, like, stay straight on this road. Like, he's not, like, giving those directions. There's something I was listening to that was talking about how there's this verse, I think, in Psalms that talks about, like, God will order your steps, but, like, the way we perceive it is that he's going to, like, tell us which step to take. But it's more like they were saying, it's like, why don't we think about it as in, like, once we take a step, then God is, like, directing us and, like, so on and so forth. Like, it's a lot more free fall than it is, like, the opposite extreme of free falling. And so, yeah, when in there are a lot of decisions, and they are all good decisions, or, like, yeah, they're not bad decisions in terms of, like, they're going to lead you astray and, like, away from God. I think it is hard to, like, I think I get caught up in, like, okay, but what is, like, the God decision? And a lot of the times, like, God shows me after the fact, like, that, okay, like, it's fine, and, like, you're in my hands. And I think, like, hypothetically, there are a bunch of different ways things can happen. But once you take that step, it's like, okay, this was God in a way. Yeah, because it's, like, a present thing that I'm currently, like, dealing with or struggling with or questioning or bringing to God, it does feel like a lot of it has to do with the fact that I overthink. Like, I start to question if I'm in the will of God at all when a decision, like, approaches, and I'm like, which decision should I make? Like, I think a lot about back in, sorry, then I'll drop it. But when I got into the flag program to go to Korea, I also got into the direct enrollment to go to the 4 months thing. And so it was either, like, 2 months, 4 months, or 6 months in Korea. And I was like, what does God want me to do? How long should I be in Korea? Like, what is the purpose of going there? Those were, like, kind of the questions I was, like, struggling. And a lot of the, I think when it boiled down to why I chose just to do the direct enrollment for autumn quarter, it was, some of it was, like, rationalizing. Some of it was just like, okay, I'm just going to trust God, or, like, I don't want to be gone that long. Like, those were kind of the things. And then I did the 4 months, and it was like, I wouldn't have done anything different. And so none of those options, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, are necessarily wrong. It's just, like, you have to just, like, I think God gives us, like, we have free will, so we can make a decision. As long as we are, like, putting him first in, like, the very basic sense, I think he, like, does the rest in a way. And I feel like I'd be trying to do everything else that, like, God is going to do.
I think for me, like, if I'm thinking of, like, when I have to make a decision, and I guess I'm, like, obviously we're not necessarily thinking about decisions that are bad. Those ones you just gotta not do, I guess. But if we have, like, multiple things that you have to do, or, like, the pressures and stuff, I think for me, what I usually need to remind myself is that I'm not competent enough. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, like, a lot of my pressures and a lot of, like, the stress comes from me thinking, like me fearing my incompetences, but, like, thinking that, like, oh, I've never been competent, like, ever. I think that helps me a lot, and that gives me peace to know that, like, I do not have to carry this life of my own. Like, if I were to carry my life, well, we'll be somewhere in the ditch. Like, I don't know, but like, I think, like, just knowing that I've never carried my life and I never will have to carry my life because I give it to Christ, I think really grounds me to, like, just be okay with to just know that, like, whatever decision I make, like, if I've prayed to God and, like, I have peace with it, just to know that, like, whatever, even if it looks like, oh, like, that's a crazy endeavor to go for, it's still trusting that, like, oh, God has brought me through a lot and he's still gonna carry me because I couldn't carry myself anyway, so,
Yeah, like, on that note, I was, like, when you two were talking, I was kind of thinking of, like, this, like, sentence from this book I'm reading. It's called Consider the Lilies by Johnny Artavanis. I don't know if I said that right. But it's, like, a book on, like, anxieties and, like, worries and, like, how to combat that as, like, a Christian. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in one part, he was talking about God's character and, like, how when Job was kind of, like, you know, having all these worries about, like, all the, like, trials he was going through and, like, all the suffering he was feeling, instead of, like, explaining the reasons why Job was going through all of these things, God started by showing who he was, like, who God is, and, like, what kind of God he is. And, like, and in the book it was saying, like, who he is, who God is the antidote to our worries and fears. And, yeah, I feel like that's, like, along the lines of, like, what you guys were saying was, like, you know, when these things do happen, it's, like, you know, God is our provider, and he can redeem, like, all situations. And so I think even those times where, like, I'm faced with, like, a decision that feels so, like, grand of, like, a decision, and how I feel like it's on me to pick the right one, or, like, if I'm, like, I made the wrong decision, like, I should have made the other decision, this or that, instead of worrying about the if, ands, and buts, it's like, even if I did make the quote-unquote wrong decision, God can still lead me down the right path despite, like, whatever I chose. Like, he's, like, he knows that we're human and he knows we don't know all the answers, and so he knows that, like, when we have these big decisions, sometimes we are gonna choose the wrong one, or sometimes we are gonna make a decision that's led by, like, fear, and just all these, like, human traits. And so it's, like, knowing that, like, he can help me, or he can guide me down the right path again, no matter what decision I make, it, like, brings down those worries, and it brings down that anxiety, or, like, that feeling that comes when I try to make these decisions, or I feel overwhelmed by decisions. Yeah. I want to thank Jazz and Ornella for coming on today and talking about purpose, pressure, and how they navigate it. I just wanted to end. Do you guys, like, have any last words?
My last words would be, read the word. Oh my God, like, when you read the experiences people had in the Bible, you're like, you get to know God, and once you know God, you're like, well, I should really just trust in him, because he's a trustable God.
Yeah, every time I have conversations like these, I'm like, I need to be reading the Bible more. Like, I know, read it enough. But I'll say bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, bye.
Oh, no, sorry. I was saying, like, bye, because I'm leaving Chicago.
Oh! Peace. Anyways, bye, guys.